This is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5. Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible. One book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. And now, here's Sherry.
God bless you. Thank you. Welcome to Trumpet of Truth. Please open your King James Bibles to the book of James, chapter 2, verse 23, where we left off last time. James, New Testament, chapter 2, verse 23. James' name means Jacob, and Jacob was the father of the 12 patriarchs, who are the heads of the 12 tribes of Israel. The 12 tribes of Israel are scattered, and that is to whom James is writing this letter, to the 12 scattered tribes. Two of the tribes, for the most part, are in the land of Judah. They are called the house of Judah. They changed their name from Israel to Judah, and they are Benjamin and Judah. The other 10 tribes retained their father's name, house of Israel, were captured by Sennacherib, migrated over the Caucasus Mountains, were later called Caucasians, scattered into Europe, scattered into Canada, scattered into these United States of America, and we are still here. Many call us the lost tribes of Israel, not lost to God, but lost to the truth. Now, James is giving us one of the greatest teachings that you'll find in the Bible to help you in your daily life, because he's talking to us about faith. Why is faith so important? Because Paul wrote in Romans 11, the just, that's the elect, shall live by faith. Hebrews 1, without faith it is impossible to please God. By grace are we saved through faith in Jesus Christ, not of our works, lest any man should boast. So James told us in the first part of this book, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. Temptations, that doesn't mean sin. It means when many troubles come upon you. You know those troubles that seem too big for you? He said, count it all joy. Jesus said, rejoice in tribulation. Paul says, rejoice in tribulation. And then he goes on to let you know that this is a way that God is going to show out and that you are going to grow. And then he said, the way to get through the trouble, you're not going to stay in it. You're going to walk through the valley. You're not going to get stuck in the valley. Is to get wisdom. Chapter 1, verse 5. Wisdom comes from the wisdom book, the Bible. Genesis 1 through Revelation 22. Go to the Bible, find the solution to your problem, and then he said, don't waver. Don't say, the Bible says this about my problem, but the banker says this about my problem. The Bible says this about my problem, but the doctor says this about my problem. You're doing that, you're wavering, and you won't get an answer. So you see, you're already in trouble there. And last week, he gave us a beautiful example of one who lives by faith, and that was Abraham. Remember, God had promised that Abraham and Sarah would have a son in their old age. His name would be Isaac, and Isaac's son should all nations of the earth be blessed, meaning Isaac would have a son, and on down umbilical cord to umbilical cord would come the Savior Jesus Christ, and whosoever is in Jesus is blessed. But God did a strange thing. He told Abraham to take Isaac up to Mount Moriah and sacrifice him. Abraham just quietly obeyed, and you know what? He put his son on the altar. Here's the thing. Abraham believed God. God had said, Isaac is going to have a son. So Abraham concludes, if my son Isaac is going to have a son, he's going to have to live, because he's a young lad now, he doesn't have a son. So one of the ways God is either going to bring him back from the dead is going to stop me from killing him. And God did stop him. And God said, that is counted to you for righteousness. Was Abraham saved because he did that work? We're going to talk about faith without works is dead. No, we're not saved by works. But because he had faith, he did the work. One of the big lessons you're going to hear today is, everybody says, I have faith. I believe in Jesus. But he said, show me your faith by your works. If you have faith in the Lord Jesus and faith in his word, you will produce fruit. You're a vine, you're the branch. You can't help it. You produce fruit. You would burst wide open if you didn't do some fruit. You know that you're made to bless others. So that's where we left off. And he said, in other words, the faith is made perfect there. So now we begin with verse 23.
23, the scripture was fulfilled, which said, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God.
The scripture scripture to which James refers is Isaiah chapter 31, round about verse 8 and 9, which prophesied that Abraham would be called the friend of God. Now, you know, a friend feels what you feel. One of the things I do believe that Abraham did, Abraham felt the father's pain, because father had said to Abraham, give your son, your only son, as a sacrifice to me. God wanted somebody to see and feel that God gave his son, his only son. A true friend feels your pain. Don't tell me you're my friend if you don't know that I'm hurting on the inside. And so Abraham was a friend of God.
24, ye see then that by works is a man justified, and not by faith only.
It doesn't mean you're saved by those works, but if you have faith, you would do works. If he didn't want you to do works after your salvation, once you got saved, he'd just take you home. You're left here now. You're supposed to bring in some other people into the kingdom.
25, likewise, always is not Rahab the harlot also justified by works?
Now he gives another example, and you notice he calls her Rahab the harlot. All through the Old and New Testament, Rahab is called a harlot. I'm going to prove to you that she's not a harlot, but that the Bible is true. She was just called a harlot. See, in other words, that was her nickname. When God sent the children of Israel into the promised land, he told them to drive out the heathen. So the Israelites decided to go and take Jericho, which was heathen, and they sent two spies, Israelite spies, to check it out to see if they could take the land. When they got in there, they found a woman named Rahab who had a house right there beside the wall between Israel and Jericho. And she saw the two spies were in trouble from the government of Jericho, so she hid them in her house, and by doing that, she saved their life. Rahab had flax up on her rooftop, which was drying out. She had gathered the flax, which she would later spin on her spinning machine. Then she would get berries, beautiful berries, red and blue and purple, turn it into dye, dip the cloth into that, and then merchants would come from faraway places to her house to buy her beautiful, beautiful material. So in those days, there were no motels, so it was customary that if night came, you would always put up someone in your house. And so jealous people just called her a harlot. But she was not. She was actually a secret believer in Yahweh, the Most High God, as you can very well see. That was a good work she did. Rahab is listed in Jesus' genealogy in the book of Luke. Go and read it. And she was a descendant of Ruth and Boaz's child. She married one of Ruth and Boaz, one of their descendants, their son or the grandson, one of those. So she was a holy woman. Was Rahab saved because she hid the two spies? No, she was saved by faith. But because she had faith, she did the work. So what he's saying here, you can tell me all day long, you go to church and read your Bible. But Jesus says you shall know them by their fruits. There should be fruit. You should be bearing fruit. Now, I'm not talking if you're a brand new Christian, you got to grow a little bit and everything and learn. But after you've been 1 year, there ought to be start some fruit falling off of you.
When she had received the messengers and sent them out a little way. 26, for as the body without the spirit is dead, faith without works is dead.
You know that you are a spirit and your soul is yourself. Your spirit and your soul are always together. When your spirit and your soul leave your body is just a little raggedy sweater there. You don't need it anymore. It's just dirt. So we call you dead. So he says, you can say you've got faith all day long. I go to church every time I read my Bible. But you never win a soul. You never witness. You never, ever do anything to bring anyone else into the kingdom. He says, you're dead. That would be what we call a dead branch in the vine. You can actually be close to the vine by going to church. But if there are never any works there, we're not talking about working on a job. We all have to work on jobs, that kind of thing. We're talking about working for the kingdom. Then somewhere you got disconnected.
Also, James chapter 3, verse 1.
Now it's going to seem like James changes the subject. No, he's just taking us higher, higher, higher in this wonderful world of faith. You see, faith is why you live. The just live by faith. We live by faith, not by sight.
Amen.
Brethren, be not many masters, knowing that ye shall receive the greater condemnation.
It's not written too well, be not many masters. It means have not many masters. The master does not mean like a servant master. It means a teacher. Here's what it's saying. Now, he's talking to the Christians, the scattered tribes. He's talking to you. Don't run hither, thither, and yon and get everybody in the world who calls themselves Christian in the pulpit to teach you. You will be so broken, you will be so scattered that you won't know yourself. In other words, when the student is ready, the teacher appears. God puts people in our paths to bump us into that God-appointed, God-assigned master teacher. There are not many of them. The elect are very few. There weren't many in the first earth age. They are few and far between. When we say master teacher, we mean who were teacher of the first world age and the three earth ages, because that was where sin began. You'll understand why you're here. Of the seduction in the garden, the fallen angels, the order of the trumps, and all of the glorious things that are in God's word, everything. In other words, when you search hard enough and God sees that, he's going to cause you to come face to face with a God-appointed master teacher for your life. And God says, when you find that, you don't keep on listening to this one and this one and this one. I don't care if people go anywhere. Once you get grounded in the word, you can hear all that and flip it off, and like water off a duck's back, you can separate it. New Christians cannot. When you win someone to the Lord, do not give them quarterlies. That is one verse out of the Bible and somebody's opinion. No, give them the book of John. Then give them the first six chapters of Genesis so they'll know about the first earth age. And then let them come book by book by book all the rest of the way. I know how to do this. I go back and forth from the Old Testament to the New Testament. In other words, if you give them, this one says, you may give them what one man saying is a great famous one. He's good, but he speaks a lie. He speaks the theory that we're going to fly away. And you give them that, and you give them, they're so scattered. And you're trying to tell them how to cast out demons, and they're not even solid. You can't do anything until you get the word of God in you. That's your foundation. And I don't mean baby word. I mean the whole picture. We offer that here. So this is what he says. Don't. In other words, you will know God has ordered your steps to that one. So stand steady. You'd be surprised what you can learn if you stand steady with your master teacher.
Two, for many things with and all.
What he says, if you go to many, you're going to get all, you're going to be offended, because this one's going to teach that, and that one's going to teach this one. This has got a quarterly going. This has got a book about the book going. This has got an experience about Uncle Tom over here, and we got all this kind of stuff. The master teacher always teaches God's word, one book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line.
If any man attend not in word, the same is a crooked man, unable also to bridle the whole body. Verse 3, behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths, and they obey us, and we turn about the whole body.
Now, he's still talking about faith. You find that master teacher, and that master teacher, by giving you the word of God, is going to build up your faith even more. Faith comes by hearing, hearing what? The word of God. Romans tells us that. Now he's going to go to the tongue, because he's going to talk about the tongue and what you do with the word of God in your tongue. So he's going to give us three cute examples about that. You can put a tiny little child on a horse, and the child's been trained, and that child can pull the bit in the horse's mouth. That whole big old horse will turn around, and it just took a tiny little bridle. Okay, now what does that have to do with the tongue? We'll find out.
For also the ships, which though they be so great, and are driven of fierce winds, yet they are turned about with a very small hand.
Now remember, he's talking about, and we're about to get into it, that you are supposed to speak and pray that word that you found in that wisdom book without varying, and that word that master teacher keeps pumping into you from God's word. Keep it in mind. All right, those of you on cyberspace, radio, internet, you cannot see me, but let's use your imagination. I am sitting here, and I'm lifting up my left hand, okay? My left hand's in the air. My left hand is where the ship ought to be. It's a safe place. It's healthy. This is wellness, my left hand. But my right hand is extended way out there. It's gone out into the deep ocean because it's very sick, and it wants to get back to safe harbor. So we've got this little rudder here. A ship in the natural, there's a little tiny rudder, and the captain goes and presses that rudder, and finally he changes the ship around. I'm showing how slowly the ship turns around. It doesn't happen in a night. It would probably break in two if it did. But bit by bit with the rudder, finally the ship comes back. So here you are. You're sick. And the Bible says he sent his word and healed you. With Jesus' stripes, you're healed. He will bring it health and cure. Behold, he will heal you. And here you are out here. And you're like a ship without a rudder out there. But you begin to open your mouth, because death and life are in the power of the tongue. You stand by the words. Words make produce sound, and sound produces movement. And as you say the word of God that you found in chapter 1, verse 5 from the wisdom book, and you mean it with all your heart and knowing it, bit by bit, that sickness is going to turn around. With Jesus' stripes, I'm healed. Now everybody can't see me. My right hand starting to turn, and it's going to meet my left hand. And we're saying, he sent his word and healed them. Son of righteous, arise with healing in your wings. Oh, I shall not die, but even declare the word of God. The word is life to those that find them, and health to all their flesh. He heals all my diseases. He sent his word and healed me. You're the Rapha, the God who heals. Praise the Lord. And then suddenly, this, I've experienced this, suddenly that tongue brought that big old bad ship of negative thinking, of bad reports, back up there to the safe harbor. And everybody said, what a miracle. I've had that. But nobody knew that it was maybe years of returning the ship around. It could be days, it could be months. This is where let patience have her perfect work. You are supposed to learn to trust while the ship's coming home, while the healing is working in you, while the money's on its way to you.
Amen.
Whithersoever the governor listeneth, by even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things.
The tongue is one of our smallest little members in our body. But Jesus is the living word. And once again, Proverbs 18:21, death and life in the power of the tongue. Proverbs, we are snared by the words of our mouth. Jesus says you'll be justified by your words and condemned by your words. Every time you speak anything, there's an energy that goes out from you. But when you speak the word of God, it is the voice of God and the power behind it that goes out. And when you speak it with great power and make a sound, sound produces movement, and things begin to move inside of you. The body starts to change. This is where you've got to be patient. For God's sake, be patient. Wait on the Lord. You didn't get this way overnight. And then you can't stop the ship and go back because somebody else said. You've got to be focused like a flint and go right back. Hallelujah. If you could only understand the power of words, the power of words. Haven't you had people say something bad to you and hurt you so badly you got sick? Yes, you have. How about the word of God? It has such power to get you well.
Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth.
Now he's going to give another example. Out in California, the supposed environmentalists won't let you burn the underbrush. Well, when you got forest and you've got crispy, parched underbrush there, it's easier for some arsonist to go in. All you do is strike a match, and it burns up all the forest and all the houses and all the businesses around it. One tiny little match. One wrong teaching from a tongue, if you go to the wrong teacher, thinking a master teacher, will cause you to walk into the lake of fire, kindleth a fire. For instance, 1830, 1832, a demented woman called Margaret MacDonald had a vision. At first she said, it's very evil. And she said, I think that Satan, and he's going to come and fly the Christians out of here and deceive them and tell them he's Jesus. Then she said, well, it can't be Satan because he's so beautiful. But see, Satan comes disguised as an angel of light. Satan is beautiful. Two itinerant preachers heard that, brought it to the United States of America, and over half of the body of Christ, out of context, take caught up in the air, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, misunderstand what air means. Air means the breath of the body, the change that we're going to make when Jesus comes. And they believe that, and they're going to worship the devil because the Antichrist comes before Jesus, but he'll look like him, and they're all believing that flyaway theory. By the way, Ezekiel 13, God says, I'm against those who teach my people to fly to save their souls. So see, when you take a teacher like that, and you give a new Christian a scripture from him, that person's going to listen to that teacher, and they're going to hear that coming out sooner or later. We're not against anyone, we're against the truth, but it must all be the truth. And of course, all of the half of the body of Christ is going to be deceived by that little fire kindled out of the tongue. And to worship the devil, you would like it walk into the lake of fire.
Amen.
And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. 7. For every kind of beast, and the bird, and the serpents, and of the things in the sea, is tamed, and have been tamed of mankind. 8. But the tongue can no man tame.
In other words, we've been able to tame serpents and big animals and everything, but not the tongue. I would tell you that the reason you're so tempted with your tongue, it is our way of communication. We are children of the Word. God's name is the Word. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. See, before a body, before a Bible, there's the Word. That's God. We're His children, so we little words. So we used words. It's our way of communication. It's God's way of communication. And we love people, and we're friendly with people. But you have to discipline yourself. To be a disciple of Jesus means discipline. It's not easy. Nobody said it was. But you can go ahead and not discipline what you say, and you won't get your answer to your prayer because you're going to be wavering. One day I believe this, one day I believe that, one day the Word, and one day the other. Or you can just discipline yourself to believe the Word. God's Word is true, let every man be a liar.
It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison.
The tongue is a deadly poison, just like when you're very disturbed and you find a good Christian and they say something to you. You come to me and I say, it's going to be all right. Our Father's going to answer this. We found the scripture for your problem. God answers this. You feel better, do you not? You're comforted that we're going to pray about that. But there are Christians who have so wrapped themselves up in, I can't, I'm afraid, I'm no good, not me, it's not for me, too hard, poor little me, I'm going to eat worms, until demons have come in. Every time that you go against the Word of God in your speech, you're opening a door for the devil to come in. You see what I'm saying? In your body, anything else. And this is where discipline comes in. There are Christians whose very voice sends out a sickness. I've had people who call on the phone. There was one person in particular. I noticed that every time they called, I got sick as a dog, and I began to say, wait a minute. I realized all the Word was totally negative. I couldn't get one drop of faith into them, though they said they were Christian. And so I had to protect myself from that. I didn't shut the person off, but I protected myself. In other words, it was a shot of poison. You understand?
Yeah.
It will make you sick. You don't want to be up that. You don't want your tongue to kill people. You want your tongue to speak the words of life. Sing them over again to me, wonderful words of life found in the wisdom book, found in the Bible.
Amen.
Amen. Now, therewith bless we God, and therewith curse we men.
See, here we are in our tongue. We say, yes, you're going to make it. I mean, it's really good. God is going to get you. I don't know if it's going to happen or not. Have you ever been praying for somebody? You had someone with you, and you just prayed, and you believed. You said, it's okay. I know you're healed. Somebody else says, but what if it's not? blessing and cursing. That man gets nothing. You know, Jesus sent out all the non-believers out of the room. If you're going to practice this praying for people to be healed, I mean, you can't have one drop of doubt in the room. It messes it up. It doesn't mean we don't love the people. We just know that we have to focus and believe. You must believe the Word. God says, believe my prophets. Believe my Word.
Amen.
Which are made out of the similitude of God. 10. Out of the mouth proceedeth blessings and cursings. My brethren, these things ought not to be so.
See, it actually becomes a sin, especially when you know that you've got a beautiful book. You could be speaking that.
11. Doth the fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter?
Well, you don't want to go to your fountain and want a nice cool drink of water and it's all bitter there. But see, that's what comes out of your mouth. When it disagrees with the Word of God, those words, no matter who says them, the King of the universe, except, I don't mean Jesus, you know, the fleshly man, anybody, Dr. Lawyer, Indian Chief, that's not the truth.
12. Can the fig tree by Reverend bear olive trees? Olive berries, either a vine, figs. So cannot both yield salt water and fresh. 13. Who is a wise man and a doer of knowledge among you?
Where are you going to find that master teacher? First of all, pray and God will order your steps to one. First of all, they're not going to be begging you for money. And they're going to have a lot of compassion for you. And they're going to be preaching you from the Bible, book, chapter, verse, and line. And they're going to tell you the three earth and heaven ages of the seduction in the garden of the fallen angels. They're going to teach the whole book of Revelation, the order of the trumps. And they're going to, well, he's going to tell us something else they're going to do. Here's another way you'll know.
Let him shew out of the good conversation of his works.
Then look at that person's life. Conversation means lifestyle. That master teacher will have a lifestyle that you can see. They have greatly used faith to serve God. They have greatly used faith to exist. They walk by faith, not by sight. You will see it in their life. Now you've got your master teacher.
Amen. 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 With meekness of wisdom.
With very humbleness, not proud. Trying and willingly to teach you everything God has taught the master teacher.
King, but if ye have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. 15. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. 16. For where envy and strife is, there is confusion.
And God is now the author of confusion. Anywhere there's confusion, the devil is. What he's saying is, you're talking about faith. Now we've got to find the wise teacher. Then we're going to watch our tongue and only say the word of God about our situation. And now, in our hearts, we're going to see, have we got any root of bitterness in there? Is there any slander against someone we need to straighten out? Is there someone we need to forgive? You might not go to them, but forgive them in prayer. Any kind of hurt or harm. God's been showing me some things that happened to me as a child that I didn't even know had happened to me. He's been seeing that so I could open that up and get that hurt. It was a deep hurt, and I was a little girl, and I had to keep right on. I didn't even have time to address that because I had to just, my life's always been, you know, live the next moment. I have to live the next moment. But he's been showing me that. So see, any kind of thing like that in your heart can hinder your faith. Unforgiveness, bitterness towards someone, slandering someone, make sure you take it to the cross and get it out. That doesn't mean you have to love what they do, but you can pray for them anyway.
17. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure and peaceful, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. 18. And the fruit of righteousness is sown of them that make peace.
What he says there, as you, by faith, sow this word of God back into yourself, your situation, and into the lives of others without wavering, forgiving everyone, learning and hearing the word, and working for the Lord, bearing fruit. You sow that in righteousness, and you will reap peace. We truly reap what we sow. Praise the Lord. We'll begin right Amen. There next time. I hope you were blessed. Amen. A mystery moment, questions and answers to help you understand the mystery of God. I'd like to introduce you the owner of the produce place in Suntree, Florida, man of God, my twin friend, Scott Merson. How are you, Scott?
I'm doing very well, Miss Sherry, very well. Great teaching, Matt. That was
Thank
awesome
you.
Stuff.
James is great.
He is, really is. Our first question tonight, should Eve have talked with the serpent?
Eve should not have talked with a serpent. Anytime you have a conversation with anyone, then out of politeness, you're going to let them bring to you their belief system, their ideas. That's just polite, right? And so what she did when she talked with him, he said, here's what I think. You won't surely die. Did God say that? He doesn't mean that. And so, see, she should not have had a conversation with him. Anytime you converse with someone, you hear their opinions. Now, most of you say, well, the devil doesn't come to me. I don't talk to the devil, so this doesn't help me. Yes, you do talk to the devil. All right? Let's say you're fighting a battle. Let's just say that you're fighting a battle. Everybody has sickness things. And he's saying, he sent his word and healed them. And then over here in your mind comes, but what if he doesn't? See, the devil got his mind. He plays in the mind. He plays mind games. That was the devil. So what you do, you stop that thing right there. I said in Jesus' name, with Jesus' stripes, I am healed. End of story. Go do something else. So see, he's subtle. And you think it's just your mind. He plays with your mind. And he's going to argue with the word of God. But he'll do it so nicely that you just think you're being logical.
What should Eve have done?
She should have called for her husband, Adam, and then they both should have gotten together and praised the Lord. He inhabits the praises of his people, Psalm 22 says. And when God appears, the devil is just gone.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
David left his stuff in the cart. Ezekiel put his stuff in the bag. It's time now for Scott's stuff.
You have an enemy that does not want you to see. Where there is no vision, the people perish. God wants us to see as he sees. He is going to open the heavenly books of these eternal mysteries, revealing new and wonderful things to us. We have to prepare ourselves and his ground. And Joshua said to the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. We have to have faith in the supernatural movement of our Lord Jesus Christ in us and through us.
That is so beautiful. Thank you, Scott Merson. That is fantastic. Thank you very much. I'm going to pray for the sick, but first I want to pray for anyone who's not saved. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. Pray this after me, please, and mean it. Excuse me. Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I ask the blood of Jesus wash away all my sins.
I ask that the blood of Jesus wash away all my sins.
Forgive me for all my sins.
Forgive me for all my sins.
Fill me with the Holy Spirit.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Establish me in your word.
Establish me in your word.
And use me.
And use me.
To do many wonderful works for Jesus.
To do many wonderful works for Jesus.
Jesus is Lord.
Jesus is Lord.
Amen. 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 Now, in a few minutes, my announcer is going to give you my telephone number, and I lovingly invite you to call and leave a message on my voicemail and tell me that you accepted the Lord. Say your name, and I will pray for you. Let me pray for those of you who are sick. Let's get that ship back to port, okay? Father, in the name and the power of Jesus by the Holy Spirit, I ask, O Son of Righteousness, according to your own word in Malachi 4, that you will arise with healing in your wings. I ask you to go in a dream into the joints and the marrow and the cells and the ligaments and the tendons, from the top of one's head to the soles of one's feet, the toes, the ankles, the calves, the knees. Let the pain be gone from the knees, the hips. Let hips get back in perfect alignment. The spine, from the brain stem on right down, perfectly aligned in the name of Jesus. Move, and so it is. So it is. Muscles, head, eyes, ears, teeth, gums, arms, hands, skin, nose, sinuses, brains, in the name of the power of Jesus, hearts and lungs, bowels get in order, kidneys be in order, colon in Jesus' mighty name. In the name of Jesus, he sent his word and healed you. Reach out and grab the stripes. By Jesus' stripes, you are healed. Praise the Lord. We give you glory, Father. We thank you.
Amen.
Somebody Amen. Was healed then, so feel free to call and tell me that too. You know, we have Thursday from 12 noon to 2 p.m. Scott and I are here to pray for you. You may just walk in. When you walk in, if Scott and I are praying for anybody or praying for each other, just come on in. That's what we do. We pray for 2 hours. That's what it is. So feel free to come or call. Sundays, 5 p.m., Wednesdays, 6 p.m., and you can get us on the internet Trumpet of Truth, WMIEFM.com, on demand. All these great books. You can get the first six chapters of Genesis. Find my book of Ezekiel. When you get to Ezekiel chapter 28, I take a field trip and do those chapters because it blends in with Ezekiel 28. You get the book of Revelation. I mean, you just Zechariah, John, you just got them all on the Ephesians. And so study. Study to show yourself approved. God bless you. God bless you. Remember, death and life's in the power of the tongue. Remember this about Jesus. His name is called the Word of God. And in John 17:17, it says, Jesus says, thy word is truth. Now remember, nothing is given you to keep. Everything you give is to share with someone else, help somebody else to know the joy and know the precious Lord and word that you know. Until next time, this is your host, Sherry Medlock, and my twin friend, Scott Merson, saying, we love you. We thank you for listening. God bless you. God keep you. God make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. And remember, go and blow the trumpet of truth.
Been listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. You're invited to call Sherry at 321-632-4631. That's 321-632-4631. Join us next week at this same time for Trumpet of Truth.
Take a look at the mountain, stretching a mile high. Take a look at the ocean, far as your eye can see. And think of me. Take a look at the desert, do you feel like a grain of sand? I am with you wherever, where you go is where I am. And I'm always thinking of you. Take a look around you, I'm spelling it out one by one. I love you more than the sun and the stars that I taught how to shine. You are mine and you shine for me too. I love you yesterday and today and tomorrow. I'll say it again and again. I love you more. Just a face in the city, just a tear on a crowded street. But you were one in a million, and you belong to me. And I want you to know that I'm not letting go, even when you come undone. I love you more than the sun and the stars that I taught how to shine. You are mine and you shine for me too. I love you yesterday and today and tomorrow. shine for me. Praise you.
We praise you, the God who is here today. We praise you, our God, as tomorrow comes. So whatever lies ahead, ever roads are great for hearts will come to tread. Our eyes on you, and know that there is grace enough to see us through. You'll be there, Lord. You'll be there in the struggle. You'll be there in the fight. You'll be there all the time. We praise you, the God of our yesterday.
Hey, this is Mark Ballmer from Lessons for Living. We hope that you're enjoying the radio program. This is a great radio station, 91.5. We pray that God will help you do life right.
You came to search and rescue, and love the Father sent you. Broke through the darkest night. You came to seek and save us. You came to liberate us. Jesus, you heard our cry. Jesus, you heard our cry. Your is our rescue. Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me.
If I had the chance.